Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it into a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Do I have you all week?
You do. You're so lucky.
I think so. Lots to get to on a Monday. We'll talk plenty of J.D. Spielman. Not a total shock, but now some closure. Can join us. Open phones for the next 20 minutes at 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. You're outside of Lincoln. Hit us up on that. You can find us on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Herbal Essence for Elijah Herbal, and Chris at HailVarsity.com. So the news of the day coming down, confirmed by Hail Varsity and other outlets, J.D. Spielman in the transfer portal. Listen, no BS, man. About 35, 40 minutes ago, my grandmother, she lives in Lincoln. She's in her early 90s, huge Nebraska fan. And we got kind of an Alexa thing set up so she can FaceTime me. It's been an ongoing process. I about took a claw hammer to my phone because I'm an idiot with adding apps and getting it connected. But we did. So she checked in before the show and just said, "What's up? How are you?" And we haven't been able to visit her, right? So, but she's like, you know, her tone, it's not what she said, but how she said it. "Well, what's going on with Spielman?" My 91-year-old grandmother, I love her to death, big Nebraska fan. And she's even like, "Well, who's going to catch the football? Who's?" It's like, "Well, we'll talk about it, Grandma. Tell Alexa to check out Hail Varsity Radio or ESPN Lincoln, and you can hear it." So long and short of this here, let's talk about the legacy, right? He isn't coming back. So how do you remember J.D. Spielman as a Nebraska football fan? And I've seen a thousand different takes, and it's usually 50-50 on this, and it may skew 60-40 in your circle of Husker fans and friends. It may skew 70-30. You can't say no big deal, all right? We can't go Doc Sadler on this and go, "Yep, no big deal." It is. It is huge. It is huge when you look at his production. It is huge when you look at his skill set. It is huge with just what you don't have or don't know, more so the unknown, versus what you had as a commodity. And you got Wandale, and you had JD, and that was about it last year, right? And guess who kept on taking lickings, going over the middle and making plays? And I know Nebraska went 5-7 last year. I know Nebraska went 4-8 last year with him. Made a hell of a lot worse without J.D. Spielman last year. And it's not that Nebraska does not have talent to choose from. It's the fact that Nebraska football does not have that guy to do his thing in the slot. They have other guys that are capable, maybe potentially as talented. Yeah, but they haven't played it down in college football aside from Wandale Robinson. So it's big. It's big from a percentage standpoint. It's huge from a production standpoint. And the proof is on game film, time out, time again, on Saturday afternoons. Nebraska does not beat Illinois. So 5-7 is now 4-8 without J.D. Spielman. J.D. Spielman, listen, was taking IV fluids to play ball against Maryland, right? Didn't practice much, had an ankle or something. Dude was dinged. And he still went out there and balled out. So when it came to Saturdays, the guy was ready to be there for his teammates. The guy was ready there to play ball. Blocking, work in progress. Let's just call it like it is. Guy's not who you want blocking on the edge for a tunnel screen to a tight end. Okay? I don't know if it was lack of effort or if it was lack of interest or if it was just he's not big enough to block a bigger corner. And you know, some of us wanted the bubble screen outlawed at some point last year because it wasn't working. But Spielman's yardage and touches and touchdowns speak for themselves. From the second place standing with yards and receptions, that's impressive. And this is going to be a loss for Nebraska on field. Now we get to the other part of this discussion when we talk about the 50-50 split or 60-40 or 70-30, wherever you're at as a Nebraska fan. Some of you are good riddance. Some of you are, this is going to suck. And some of you are like, well, we'll see. Some of you are, let's just pump the brakes and see what can happen for Nebraska. Because, listen, if you're a Nebraska fan, it's okay to be excited about Omar Manning. It's okay to be excited about Xavier Betts. It's okay to be excited about Alante Brown and Marcus Fleming and Will Nixon and Cade Warner and Wandale Robinson. You've got a room. You didn't last year. You had two guys, really. Okay? You had more than that, but two guys that could go make plays on their own. This does not help Nebraska on field. Does it help Nebraska in the locker room? I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. I don't have anything bugged, or nor do I have a spy in the locker room. But we all heard things last year. Was JD a happy teammate? Was JD a guy that had some disagreements? Here's what I do believe. I believe you had a certain culture under Riley. It was pro style, which means he wasn't going to make you take a drink of water. The old, you can lead a horse to water thing. Okay? Riley would show you where the water's at, go drink. That was his leadership style. Frost is going to be more hands-on. And that's the difference. Hands-off, hands-on. And JD put up big numbers in his career. 200 receiving yards against an Ohio State. Couple hundred receiving yards against Penn State.
Three consecutive seasons of 800-plus receiving yards.
You know, he had a ton of numbers. Now, and this may get picky, but when it came to crunch time, I look at the Northwestern and the Illinois game. Games that were in doubt. When JD put up monster numbers, Nebraska was down 45-7. Right? I mean, garbage isn't the right term, but the game was over. So you're going to go get yards and get open, and good for him scoring the only touchdown against Ohio State in 17 and putting up numbers on that team. But there were some plays that could have been made in games against at Ohio State that he didn't make. But for the most part, the guy set the tone. Both Colorado games, here and in Boulder, was big. And then he'd disappear. They'd say, okay, this dude's torching us. Let's focus on him. So this is not good for Nebraska. They can recover from it. They have the players to do so. But don't tell me it's going to be just, all right, someone's going to step in and replace him. No, he's not irreplaceable at all. And it's a loss. But is it addition by subtraction? That's the question here. He had personal health matters he took time off to attend to. We wish him well and in recovery for that. And now that he's in the transfer portal, I wish him well. I wish him nothing but Godspeed and good luck if he wants to play football again. He's great at football. Does he love football? It's always kind of been the question. He's played it because he's great at it. I think he loves lacrosse. And I think Riley had to talk him into playing ball here. You just got a different style, the Riley style versus the Frost style. And the last part here, Elijah, before you jump in, it's hard when your best guy doesn't buy in. And I tend to believe there was maybe not all buy-in by JD with what Frost was doing. And you can't have that. You got to be all in or out. And he's off. Now, does JD get a waiver? The only way he's going to play football in 2020, because from an academic standpoint, he withdrew from his courses in March, make that April, in April. So the NCAA's got to say, hey, here's a waiver, go take your courses and go play football. Because he's not a graduate, so he can't technically be a graduate transfer, and he's redshirted this first year here. So the NCAA's got to give him an exception to play this year. is he eligible to play this year? Well, if he didn't do any coursework in the spring, I don't know how he'd be eligible for the fall. But given the climate with what's going on in the world, pandemic and otherwise, the NCAA is not going to stop some dude from playing ball and continuing his education. Nebraska will have to grant the waiver. So if that's Minnesota that's calling him up, does Nebraska let him not only transfer, but transfer in the Big Ten West and transfer to Minnesota, if that's an option? Does he go to Oregon State, where some of his former teammates, part of his recruiting class, they're Oregon State Beavers? Does he just retire for now and keep working with Coach Dub up in Omaha to maybe get an NFL draft opportunity because his dad's the GM for the Vikings? Those are your three doors to choose from. But this day was coming. It just finally got announced.
I think regardless of whether or not he has a team this fall, he'll get a shot in the spring to go impress an NFL team. His dad's Rick Spielman. We went over that. But I think the kid should get a waiver. I hope he does. With the production he put up in the past 3 years at Nebraska on some bad teams, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. 4-8, 5-7, that they looked better than they were, but those are still awful records for Nebraska.
No, they're horrible.
Horrible records for Nebraska. And the kid was still working. He still put up three consecutive 800-yard seasons. I think he deserves
he
it
was,
for
he
what
was,
he did for the program.
He was it.
For
he
what?
Was it last year on mm-hmm. offense until Wandale got comfortable.
Yeah, but the thing is I don't think Nebraska's offense was going to take that next step if J.D. Spielman was the number one receiving threat. That's my view on it. Whenever you got a 5'10 guy in the slot, 5'9, I don't know how tall he is. It's somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Whenever that's your leading receiving threat, I don't think you're going to have the best offensive attack. You need to have somebody who's 6'3 on the outside.
You needed a Stanley. You needed the big wide receiver on the outside to make sure the inside slot could work.
So does he want to stay at Nebraska, possibly lose his targets to Omar Manning, a guy who isn't even a proven commodity, or go take your shot at the NFL, and if you can, get that waiver and go play at Minnesota close to home? I wish him all the best. It makes sense.
Well, let's just not kid ourselves either.
But
as nice as Spielman is, technically it's an open competition, right? So no matter what he's done for 3 years, you still got to go earn that number one spot, right? Would he beat out an Alante Brown, Marcus Fleming, Will Nixon, Wandale Robinson? Well, you would think that he'd be the king till he's dethroned.
I mean, the way I see it is, if he stays with the team, I don't think he's...
His touches are going to drop, his
exactly.
yards are going to drop, his touchdowns potentially could drop.
I expect that Wandale and Omar Manning would both get more targets than him in the offense next year, personally. And then they've talked about how they want to use the tight end more next year. There's more targets taken away from him. And if this team goes 6-6, 7-5 next year, and you're fourth in the team in catches, third in the team in targets, like, it's not great for your NFL stock. Is leaving a school and not playing at all good for your NFL stock either? No, but...
No. I think he'll try and go play ball.
I do too.
I honestly think this... I think if he goes to Oregon State, and we're just throwing out, like, names. You saw him on Instagram put out a Beavers helmet. Does that code from going to Corvallis? No. I mean, he was working out with Tyjon Lindsey, with Coach Williams. So maybe he was just trolling. I have no clue. The guy doesn't talk, which is fine. So is it Oregon State? Is it Minnesota? Is it a Division II school like South Dakota State or something like that? Or Minnesota State or Mankato, whatever. I'm just throwing out. North Dakota State. I mean, Bison are pretty damn good.
That's pretty close to his home of Minnesota, too. Fargo?
Yeah.
It's right across the border.
But Spielman was more of a really good Saturday guy. The Monday through Friday part. I mean, he was it, but he delivered. So I think the buy-in's very real. And it's a different culture. Coach Frost has talked about it a lot. Talked about buy-in. You're annoyed by it, some of you, and I get it. But it's true. If your best guy maybe isn't on the same page as what you want as a program, you can't keep moving forward. Plain and simple, that's it. So Nebraska is not done or dead at wide receiver. There's plenty of options, but you lost a great one. I'm going to say he was great. And think about how great he could have been if there had been more help around him. Right? I mean, you saw the offense kind of put some numbers up that first year here with Frost, when you had a Stanley, when you had other weapons and options, when you had Ziggy running the football, you had a little more time for Adrian at quarterback. I mean, good luck covering JD, for the love of God, if you've got other guys you got to worry about as well. This is big. This is not shocking. And Nebraska will move on. If Minnesota is on the radar as a spot to transfer to, what do you do if you're Nebraska? Do you just part ways? If it's a mutual, hey, you go do your thing, and we're going to do our thing, best of luck to everybody in the process. If you're Nebraska, do you keep him from going? That's within your right. But then you potentially blow things up, and it's not a great look. It's already not a great look when you've had 14 guys transfer since the end of this last season. But, hey, that's his program, Coach Frost, and he knows what he's doing.
I say let him go to Minnesota. He put up 3 good years. Let him go.
So you want him coming to Lincoln here?
I don't want it, but if that's what he wants.
End of November?
It's not what I want, but I think he's earned the right to go where he wants to go.
All right, we'll talk to Greg Smith next on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. We'll spend some more time on J.D. Spielman and get Coach McBride's thoughts here in about 35, 40 minutes. Greg Smith is with us to talk some recruiting and also the Spielman thoughts. Greg, not a surprise, but what does this do from a recruiting standpoint? If you're Nebraska here, you lose a guy that's proven and performed well on Saturdays.
Yeah, never a dull moment in Nebraska football, right? it's weird, isn't it? Like you said, it was not unexpected. And we've talked about this before where I didn't think there was a way he was coming back. But that still doesn't lessen the impact necessarily of what you're going to feel on Saturdays, because it is a very strange situation that a guy that was poised to break every receiving record in the school's history and be a senior was then going to leave and not come back. Like I know that people just had a hard time kind of wrapping their minds around that. And so obviously you're losing a lot from a production standpoint on a week to week basis. But you're also now you're going to have to rely on so many new faces. Just thinking about a football wise first. On, you know, Wandale Robinson being your now leading returning receiver with 40 career catches is pretty tough. That's not to say that it can't be done, that all of these new guys that are coming in can't eventually gel and produce a good passing attack, but I do think some patience is going to be needed on that front. Now, when it comes to recruiting, I don't think that it changes all that much of what they were doing currently, because I think that the staff has known for a while now that this was going to be the eventual way that this went, and so they've been recruiting as if that's going to happen anyway. I think you're still going to end up seeing 2-3 max wide receivers in this class, just because there might not be room to have more than 3. You got 5 last year, and a good, really good 5 at that. You've got a lot of young receivers on the team. You just have to figure out which of them are going to be ready to play at this level, and you're really honestly not going to know that until the fall because you lost the spring.
Greg, from a perception standpoint, you look at the turnover for Nebraska, 14 guys since the end of this regular season in 2019. Is that anti-recruiting fodder for teams going against Nebraska, or do they even go down that path?
I think for the most part, teams will not go down that path. And this is going to be unpopular, but I do think that it's a little bit of a concern. It's a question for me that I would have for Frost as to why is there still this level of turnover and attrition on the team when you've now been here going on 3 years. Now, normally when you have this sort of stuff in year one, everybody kind of expects that, right? Do you think that that's going to happen because a new coach comes in, it's a different scheme, things just might not mesh right away, and that's totally acceptable. When you're at this stage of the game, and you've got 14 guys that have left the team since the last season, that's a lot. So it is concerning, but I don't think that teams all that much care about that when it comes to a kind of negative in recruiting or anything like that against Nebraska. Frankly, Nebraska's giving them other things that they can negatively recruit for. I just think that that one will be lower on the totem pole.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, talking recruiting. Before we get into Seth Malcolm, what's, you know, if you're writing the story on JD, what's it say?
Man, it would say that he was a heck of a talent, that I think that fans were never really able to kind of fully embrace and get their arms around, just because we didn't hear from him all that much. And it looked like he was having fun out there. It seemed like he saw the Wandale tweet earlier that his teammates liked him. So there's always just going to kind of be some mystery around him, unless he actually comes out and says the reason of why he left. It's going to be the story of a great talent, but kind of a mysterious one, given how things ended.
As quiet as JD is, I mean, the guy let his play do the talking, which is
right.
Is nice. And he was big time for Nebraska. He's not irreplaceable. But if you were to say, okay, there's Wandale in that spot, in the slot, what's your take here on Alante or Fleming or even Will Nixon? Are those three other candidates that could try and fill that void?
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to try to. I'm really intrigued. Alante Brown, I think, is going to be a guy that plays and plays a lot for Nebraska. I think that between Nixon and Fleming, it'll be interesting to me to see which of those guys is more physically ready to play college football when they first get here. Marcus Fleming, I know for sure, is already here. I don't know if Will Nixon has reported yet. But those two are two guys that play kind of that duck R slot role as well. So we'll have to see kind of where that goes. I think that Will Nixon, being a coach's kid who I know has been kind of in the playbook, might be ready to hit the ground running a little bit sooner, but Fleming still has a high ceiling. But they have guys that can really try and step into that role. Jamie Nance is a guy who we were starting to hear nice things about when we had like a very small taste of spring football. And so he'll be in the mix as well, but he could also play some outside. But they have plenty of options there. It's just whether or not they're going to be ready come this fall.
Greg, another area where JD had production was in the return game. Who do you think can step up and return some punts and kicks for the Huskers this year and try to match that production?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that Wandale Robinson will definitely be a player that steps into that role or tries to step into that role. I think Alante Brown had some experience doing that as well. I think that those are the two guys that I would really look for to be able to get back there. And I wouldn't be surprised if Sevion Morrison ended up being a guy that could also kind of return some kicks too. But I think Wandale and Alante are your two candidates there. The problem is that I don't know how much you want to rely on Wandale Robinson, knowing that he's going to be one of your main wide receivers as well.
Greg Smith's with us. We're talking J.D. Spielman news and some recruiting. We'll talk to Seth Malcolm here in a little less than an hour. Greg, your thoughts here. Eight-man football, but man, this kid can run and he's pretty physical. What do you think of the pickup for Nebraska this weekend?
Yeah, I really like the pickup for Nebraska. I think it's a super unique story, like hit on with him coming from eight-man football. You just don't see that all that often. But he's definitely a kid that has some good athleticism to him. He does a little bit of everything for his high school. I think he basically plays some of everything but offensive line for his eight-man team. He even returns punts and kicks. So he's a really good athlete. You watch his film. He definitely stands out head and shoulders above the competition, and that's going to be kind of the two things that I think are going to be interesting in slowing his development a little bit, but I think he has good upside, is that the competition level is a question, then the adjustment from coming from eight-man football will also be tough for him. But I think down the road he could be a heck of a player at inside linebacker for Barrett Reed and his crew.
Well, Nebraska did a nice job, and they really liked what he can do. That athleticism and speed is nice. Iowa State was the first to offer. Nebraska stayed with him during the pandemic. Greg, as you look at 2021, what's on your radar now for Nebraska, even predictions or just, you know, what's kind of the next step for the Big Red? Where could some kids be leaning as, again, that the official visit thing is on hold till the end of July?
Yeah, I still think that Nebraska, Malcolm was one of the ones I had an eye on. I still think that Marcus Mbau, the offensive lineman from Wisconsin, I think that he's still a kid to keep an eye on because it's just going to be tough. Nebraska continues to have really good interest from offensive linemen. Like Greg Austin continues to do a really good job on the recruiting trail. And I think Mbau is a guy that could get in the class sooner rather than later. And then we're probably back into what I feel like is going to be a theme of this class, which is the more surprises, right? You have a guy, maybe you have another wide receiver like Metrell Neville, who left the Virginia Tech class here recently, has had a lot of interaction with Husker recruits and players on social media. Maybe you have another player, a tight end, not Thomas Fedoni, that ends up going ahead and pulling the trigger. It's going to be a really interesting summer for Nebraska in recruiting, and if they can make some real headway here without being able to have those visits, they're not the only one, obviously, but it's going to be interesting to see if Nebraska continue to add guys through this pandemic.
Greg, a thought here on some other tight ends Nebraska's looking at, working on, because they want 2 to 3, correct, in this class?
Yeah, they want to. So I think that there's two names that really jump out to me. One, that Eric Olson, tight end out of Colorado that included Nebraska in his top six today, who actually has a really neat story with Nebraska, connection to Nebraska. He has a lot of family that lives in the state. He had multiple family members, he told me, that graduated from Nebraska, still a bunch of family that lives in Omaha as well. And he's a really nice tight end prospect, a kid that's a little bit raw, but a good athlete, good route runner. It could be a little bit of that hybrid tight end that Nebraska is trying to recruit to hopefully for them pair with Thomas Fedoni, who's obviously the number one target there. A.J. Rollins is another kid, and I should have mentioned him as a kid that you never know if he goes ahead and makes a decision, even though he hasn't visited anywhere else but Nebraska. That might end up being enough for him, but he's another kid at tight end that Nebraska really likes for this cycle, and they do want to make sure that they take two to make sure they start to stockpile that room up.
How's it coming for Nebraska with pass rush?
It's a mixed bag. That one is one where it's become a little bit of a mystery. There's a couple of kids. There's Will Schneider. Schweitzer. I'm going to continue to butcher that name.
Schweitzer
out of California. There we go. Schweitzer out of California that Nebraska is doing well with. There's still Buckhalter from down in Alabama that Nebraska has firmly on their radar as well. I think you'll continue to hear about those kids. But pass rush is a spot where I really think that you could end up hearing some new names kind of come to the surface here in the next couple of weeks, maybe the next month or so. I think Nebraska continues to try to address that situation. But again, we say this about a lot of different positions on the team. They're so young and have so many different young guys or guys that they haven't been able to really get eyes on to see just how hard they need to continue to recruit that position. But I think they'll just continue to recruit it until they have a few studs out there. It's just been so long since Nebraska's had that pass rush.
Derek, I want to go back to the offense real quick. Greg. So sorry, Brent on autopilot mode there for a second. But I want to go back to the offense. The big news on Twitter was Latrell Neville. A lot of Huskers tweeting at him. He's a 6'3 receiver. Is that where the Huskers are looking to go with their wide receiver room now, is more towards the size, or they kind of want to have the tall and the short like they've had in previous years?
Yeah, I think they want to have a mixture of different body types. And I think that Lubick, the change that may be occurring under Lubick is actually kind of completing, sealing the deal there, being able to land some more of those guys. I mean, they did a good job of that last year. But this has been an ongoing thing. If you think about some of the guys, David Njoku from a couple of cycles ago that ended up going to UCLA that Nebraska liked a lot. There's been other guys that they've tried to get that head size. They just didn't have much luck until Omar Manning and Xavier Betts and last class. So I think that they'll continue to go after a mixture because they really do need that within this offense and this room to have different types of wide receivers. You just don't want the same type of guy running around out there.
Greg, we will get caught up end of the week again. Keep up the awesome work. Thanks for the recruiting hit and your thoughts on JD. Always love catching up with you. And real quick, about 20 seconds, a thought on the yearbook feature you got coming.
Yeah, so I have a feature on Wandale Robinson, speaking of wide receivers, and just kind of what went into kind of the making of Wandale Robinson. He's got a unique story with his father taking a couple of stints in prison, and there was another family that kind of stepped in and helped to bring him up and help him along the way, and just kind of the connections of all of that, and how he got to be the guy that you guys see on Saturday. It's a really neat story about Wandale and his family.
Can't wait to see that. Great work. Greg, we'll talk soon. Thanks again, man.
Hey, thanks as always, man. You guys have a good week.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you. It's Hale Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. And we'll get into Iowa football and their issues over the weekend and claims. Scott Docterman's been on our show before from The Athletic, covers Iowa, and some pretty telling and revealing thoughts from many folks on the Iowa football team that are African-American, how they feel, how they felt, and the type of treatment they believe that went on at Iowa City because of with their strength coach, kind of the culture topic. Twitter poll is up, and you can check that out, ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. That is, where will J.D. Spielman be playing next football season? Minnesota? Oregon State? Not with a team. Other. You didn't have a FCS, is that right, FCS school handy?
Well, I was going to just put in FCS school, but I thought I could just cover all my bases.
So with other. Right now, poll says Minnesota at 47%, Oregon State at 13%, 25% of you say not with a team, other at 15%. So there is that. So Iowa has had to backpedal a lot, specifically with social media. And there was one approved tweet that was supposed to be allowed for Iowa players, but now they're free to tweet. And I think Turner Gill had a cell phone policy or a Twitter policy. I'm not completely sure, but it didn't go over well with his players, is the point, when he was at Liberty. But now let's focus here on Chris Doyle. He's the longtime Iowa strength and conditioning coach. And in a statement Sunday, he denied ever having crossed the line of unethical behavior or bias based upon race, claiming that there have been statements made about my behavior that are not true. He is on leave. He's also the highest paid strength and conditioning coach in college football. There were some examples that were specific on Twitter and in Scott Docterman's story on The Athletic about some of the treatment. Hawkeyes coach Kirk Ferentz announcing Saturday that Doyle had been put on administrative leave pending an independent review after a growing group of former players spoke out about their negative experiences they and other black players had while at Iowa under Doyle's supervision. Listen, Iowa feels very New England because that is where Ferentz came from under Bill Belichick in Cleveland. And there's kind of the, dare I say it, Iowa way. And Iowa's pretty strict and stringent. And Iowa's going to tell you to be at the weight room a certain time. And their strength and conditioning coach will motivate you verbally to get better physically. And the path is not easy in college football, period. How do you motivate? And I just think back to Trev Alberts and Grant Wistrom and guys that a guy that they really, really loved at their position coach, Tony Samuels. Tony Samuels, phenomenal, phenomenal coach. And he found ways to motivate his guys without getting crazy, okay? And Trev talked about it about 3 weeks ago for our YouTube Tuesday about Tony, Coach Tony talking to him. You know, your folks are here. They're out from Cedar Rapids. They're here to watch you play in the road. I mean, he had a way to get his guys cranked up. Play for family, play for your teammates. We'll get into that with Coach McBride. The motivation part. You should want to go out there and kill it. I get that. But that little extra. And to get guys into the weight room and to push them – you know, how across the line did Doyle go with African American players? That's the question here. More from Doyle real quick here.
That's all I was going to get into is the statement.
I've been asked to remain silent, but this is impossible for me to do. There have been statements made about my behavior that are not true. I do not claim to be perfect. I have made mistakes, learned lessons, and like every American citizen, can do better. At no time have I ever crossed the line of unethical behavior or bias upon race. I do not make racist comments. I do not tolerate people who do. I'm confident that at the complete review of my body of work over 21 years will speak for itself. And I'm trusting the process and to respect the rights and experiences of all parties involved. There are countless men of character who are better fathers, husbands, activists, leaders, and contributors to society due to their experience at Iowa football. The record will show this. He's in a no-win situation. Ference made a comment. I shouldn't say Ference, but Doyle made a comment about sending a guy back to the ghetto. That from my Iowa defensive back, Deonte Morrow. He tweeted that Sunday. I called him out in front of the entire team. I was suspended. Ference told me I was out of line and needed to apologize for standing up for myself. So you've got a real issue here with Iowa football, their unhappiness, and their unhappiness with, I don't know if it's the vocal minority or if this is more prevalent at Iowa.
What a PR nightmare statement from Chris Doyle, in my opinion. You look at that and to deny all wrongdoing after countless number of players have come out and said that you have mistreated them. I mean, you can come out and say, I felt I never crossed the line. I'm sorry if I did. But to outright deny it, it just seems like it can't be true, honestly, that he is just denying ever there being any racist comments that he has ever made, because there's so many players that have said he has.
There's innuendo. How did you take something? Mm-hmm. And are you able to accept tough coaching and tough love? If he didn't border on racial undertones, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I have no doubt that if I'm an Iowa football player coming from Chicago and this happens to a lot of kids of color, I'm sure. They go into a lily white or predominantly white setting, it's got to be culture shock and different for him. How comfortable are they? And that's the college experience, right? Diversity. Mm-hmm. And you experience diversity going to college, and some kids experience some diversity going off to college. But, yeah, is this a real issue, a systemic issue with the Iowa strength and conditioning and other colleges around? I mean, Utah's got an issue they're dealing with now as well. Or are guys making it up? And I think there's too much smoke for it to be completely fabricated. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Coach Charlie McBride's coming up 10 minutes away, and Seth Malcolm, newest linebacker from Iowa. Eight-man football, dude can run, guy can hit. Nice get by Coach Chenander, Coach Rude, and give me some more linebackers if you're a Nebraska fan, right? And a guy that can run. And I'm interested, man, about the eight-man football jump to the Big Ten, but they can tack some weight on this guy, and he plays really downhill and can chase folks down. So, and he does it all. Really good athlete. So Nebraska trying to get more athletic at linebacker. We'll talk to Malcolm coming up here at 5:25. We'll check in with Coach McBride here on what's going on at Iowa. We'll get McBride's thoughts here on J.D. Spielman into the transfer portal. And I want to tell you about West Blue Realty. Are you moving in 2020 in West Blue Realty? They specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. They'll make 2020 a smooth move for you for a limited time. You mentioned Hail Varsity, and West Blue Realty can provide you up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Give Tom Luby a call. Tom can help at 402-540-3768. Kelly Hofschneider, 402-202-2312. Give Kelly a shout. It pays to work with West Blue. And you have agricultural land and you're looking to sell it, West Blue can help with that. They've got an auctioneer. They can handle live auctions, sealed bids, general land listings. And they sold land in Lancaster, Odo, and Seward counties this year. And they can help handle a large radius. WestBlueRealty.com. Go see them. 1120 K Street, Suite 200. I got 18 in Saturday. We won in sudden death. Coach Brett carried to the finish line. Like, we're talking Earl Campbell, Larry Zonka carrying. I was okay off the tee box for a while, and then and it wasn't even vodka related. It was just, I sucked. Played 18 yesterday with Uncle Nate. And that was money. That was fun. A little par three where I could park my wide backside in a cart. Some of the guys we played with walked because they're men. I am not. It's like too hot, not walking.
They make the cart for a reason.
They do. They make the freaking cart for a reason. Never again, man. I walked once.
You're not more of a man for walking, let's be honest.
No, they're in better shape, and they won't have heart failure at some point. But that's fine. What'd you do, man? Anything good this weekend?
I've nothing fun. I researched the stock market for a couple hours.
For class or just high wage we pay you here?
Well, for
allowing you to get NASDAQ picks.
Well, I got some money in the stock market, and it's been a good last week for the stock market.
Well, it jumped, what, 800 points Friday?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was huge. So
are you back to minus 30 now?
Well, I was about a month ago. I was down about 20%, which is tough. But I'm back up to only down 5%, so I'm moving back up.
No, good, because we with the IRA we have, or I have, my dad started for me, that thing's been crazy. It was awesome. It was so good. And then, you know that scene in Dumb and Dumber where Harry drinks a Turbo Lax and the toilet's broken? That's my IRA now.
No, I actually had a good day today.
Feet in the air, IRA.
I'm saying is I had a good day today. I'm feeling good about the stock market, about
all right,
my stocks.
We will put a segment together. We have Burke's Best Bets and Elijah's Picks for the Market.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Thanks for hanging out on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Into hour two, we welcome in Mr. Blackshirt himself, Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how hot is it up your way?
It's hot, but it's not unbearable. It's, I suppose it's in the 80s somewhere, low 80s.
Okay.
But it's, it's beautiful.
I bet it is. Just right off the lake, man. I bet it's pretty comfortable. It was, well, let's just say it felt like August, but I'm not going to complain, man, because it was sunny and warm, and at times the wind helped my golf shot.
Well, you got to have something to complain about, though. I mean, or else you're not having any fun.
Well, I get it, right? I get
golf
it.
Golf will make you complain.
Yeah, golf makes you say the Lord's name a lot, you know? That's how it works. But we got a lot on the plate today, and I want to get your thoughts as a guy who coached for a lot of years, just watching a player like J.D. Spielman. And he has entered the transfer portal today, and it's unclear if he's still going to play football, although it kind of feels like he wants to play football if he's in the transfer portal. But it's another kid off the roster that's leaving with Coach Frost in charge, and that happens. I mean, it's not that far removed from Fleck at Minnesota, flipping his roster, a number of kids. But what did you think of Spielman here, and what's your comment on him leaving?
Well, I hope this thing wasn't predetermined. You know what I'm getting at? My brother seemed to, he lives up there. You know, he hears different things, you know. But, you know, I just hope it wasn't one of those things that, you know, he wants to go. I know that quarterback's supposed to be a great player up there. And, you know, his dad being there at the Vikings. And you wonder if this isn't all a, you know, a deal we work through the athletic department, which you'd never find out because right. Nobody's going to sure. admit it. So, you know, and if he has something, it's the same old story. Well, we think we need to keep him around the house or around home or around somewhere where we can keep an eye on him or whatever the case is. So it's something that you just take it with a grain of salt and just go on your way and forget about it, you know, if that's the case. If he doesn't want to be there, you know, you're better off without him. You know, if he comes back and he comes back just because it's one of those things that he's not happy, you don't want that around there. So, you know, you're better off just letting the thing go and let him do what he wants to do unless you want to make it tough for him. But you're wasting your time, you know, in most cases like that. I don't know all the real detailed rules on this thing, but, you know, this transfer thing can be very vicious. And it was a bad move in the first place because right after they passed it, they said this could cause some real trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, really? You know, I mean, why did you pass the thing in the first place? It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, the old way of doing it, you want to transfer, you transfer, you sit out a year, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter with that one?
That's a fair question. I look at the Spielman setup kind of goes like this, Coach. He's in the portal. He's not a graduate, and I don't think he ended up doing any school this spring because of his medical leave, right? Or I should say his personal leave. But with the way things are in the world today with the pandemic's thrown a wrench into things anyway, right? Just life in general, and then you get into recruiting and all of that. And so it's been a mess that way. The NCAA, man, who knows with them, but I wouldn't be surprised if they granted Spielman a waiver. Who's to say they don't? So he can go to school this spring, this fall, and go play ball somewhere. But Nebraska's got to sign off on it. So I look at a couple of different spots, right? I look at Oregon State because some of his teammates that were at Nebraska are now at Oregon State out in the Pac-12. And then I look at Minnesota because that's close to home and just up the road. And if you're Nebraska, do you even mess with, like, blocking him from going somewhere like a Minnesota? It's in your own division. You're going to play him in November. Well, you're on Black Friday. I mean, what do you do if you're Coach Frost? You just move on and let him go wherever he wants.
Yeah, I you know, that's another thing. You know, it would make sense to me to see a rule passed where you can go, but you can't go within your conference. And that would solve some of the problems, I think. Because a kid, I want to go play for a national champion if he's a good player. I think I'll transfer down to Oklahoma or to Alabama or to, you know, Clemson or LSU or something like that. You know, and they're hot at this time, so that's where I want to go. And, you know, that's just selfish, and it's, you know, something like that. Now, if he was a guy that, you know, was a definite breakaway guy that you couldn't catch if he caught the ball and vice versa, you know, one of those kind of people, that would be tough. But I think there's a lot of people like him, you know, in this world that, so, you know, he's not what you'd call, he's a great receiver, but as far as after the ball's caught, a lot of times he can't go all the way because there's, you know, his speed factor is you know, his speed factor is going to hurt him in the going in the NFL, and his size,
sure.
You know, combination of both. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. Now, he may be a 4-3 guy, but he sure doesn't show it, you know, to me. He shows speed, but, you know, I've seen him caught from behind and stuff like that. And, you know, those things are, you know, and there's kids that really want to play, and I'd rather go to bat with those guys, you know, that really want to be here, that want to do the things, and not have some guy that's just kind of hanging in there, you know, because I went there, I got to finish there. I, you know, there's all kinds of reasons. But so to me, it's adios.
Charlie McBride's with
us. You
know,
you got other players, you got other kids there that you need to spend time with and work with and do that. You can't just, you know, and there's players that if he does come back or something, aren't going to, you know, it's not going to be his happiest day in the world.
Sure.
There may be some guys hold a grudge against them.
That's some insight. Charlie McBride's with us, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I'm going to stick in the Big Ten. What do you make of what's going on with Iowa and their strength and conditioning coach, Chris Doyle? Have you seen this story?
No, I really didn't. Not really.
Okay, the long and short of it is there were claims made by former players of bias towards them, bias behavior based on race. So the strength and conditioning coach for Iowa, highest paid strength and conditioning coach in college football, you know how good Iowa's been on the lines of scrimmage, you know how good they've been at putting guys into the NFL. Chris Doyle's a phenomenal strength and conditioning coach, but he's accused by multiple guys that used to play for Iowa of unethical behavior or bias based on race. So he was a guy that wasn't as there's different parts of the story, but kids felt like they weren't treated fairly or equally by the strength coach. And he's been with Ferentz since 1999.
Right.
So that's the gist of it. He's on leave right now.
Yeah. You know, If knowing the situation and not knowing the closeness of the situation, you know, myself, I look at it, how can a guy even be in athletics if he's going to be like that? I mean, how can you – I don't understand why a guy – you know, how you get up in the morning, you're going to say, well, this guy's – I'm going to not treat him the same or I'm not – I just don't understand it. I guess it's my upbringing and my – how I went through school and who my friends were and stuff like that. And people that do that kind of stuff, you know, I don't care if he's been there since 95. If it's true and, you know, he's just kind of a, you know, and it could be just something that, you know, is just brought up because of the moment or something. And,
sure.
And there's always people that read things into, you know, into it, and you find out later that the guy was being as straight as an arrow, and it was somebody else who was the other side of the fence that was, you know, looking for an excuse. And but when they're gone, you know, and they have, you know, I just don't get it, and I don't get it why it even would have to come up. That's what I don't get, because there's something there. But how big is it?
Well,
you know.
How bad was it? And is you know, you touched on the moment we're in time right now with folks and protests and equality being on the forefront. And you know, how did kids feel? Did they feel comfortable? I mean, or were kids just challenged like they'd never been challenged, and it rubbed them wrong? I mean, you just don't know. And yeah. I don't know that the guy lasts for 21 years if he's a racist. I don't. On the other hand, how sensitive is he or was he to African American players? I don't know that either.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You don't know. You're guessing at everything, and that's why I said his longevity there seemed to me that this would come up sooner than at this particular time.
Right.
You know, and there might be a couple of guys that, you know, weren't what they thought they were, you know, that are just, you know, making a mountain out of a molehill of some kind, you know, that maybe that he yelled at them or did something mm-hmm. that made them feel like he was, you know, prejudiced against them and their, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, and if you have to, if you have to be a coach and you have to be a weight coach or a, any kind of a coach and feel that way, you treat everybody the same. If you, you know, and some guys think, well, he's picking on me. Well, mm-hmm. that's a possibility. You never say never, but you know, that your idea, I mean, there's kids that I coach that I wasn't particularly excited about as far as people, you know what I mean?
No, I got
but,
you.
I mean, I treated them, you know, like I used to say, I treated them equally bad.
You yelled at everybody, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
but,
funny.
But, you know, that's, to me, I can't believe a guy would be in the business that long and not have the hammer put down on him a long time ago.
Sure. Coach, I want to ask you real quick, got about a minute and a half here. Charlie McBride's with us. Nebraska got a linebacker, inside linebacker out of a smaller town in Iowa, 8-man football guy. Was that a hard evaluation to go get guys from 6- and 8-man football and go scholarship with them?
No, it was in some cases. But, you know, you can see, you know, you have to teach a guy anyway. If you can find out if he's got speed, if he's got toughness, if he's got, you know, a linebacker coach can look at a kid and see if he has instincts and things like that. To me, 8-man football is a deterrent for some people, maybe, but you know, if you're realistic about the thing, you know, there's a lot of guys that played in Nebraska 8-man football and played in even in a 11-man football where they only had maybe 15 kids on the team. You know, they still playing 11-man, and you know, it's even turned out we're now gotten down to 6, I think, some 6-man teams around the, you know, Kansas border and around that kind of stuff. And you know, I always thought if a kid's a player, you can see the things that he has, and now you teach him what you want. And, I mean, I've coached those guys, and that's exactly what happens, and some of them turn out to be great players. I mean, you know, I mean, they turn out to be really good at what they do, and they don't come in with a lot of bad habits.
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, always love chatting with you. Thanks for diving into a few different topics with us today. Stay in the shade, man. Stay out of the... are you? Good. You stay in that that cool, relaxed area. We may be sending you some humidity. Maybe.
Oh, good. I'm for that. I just close the doors, turn on the air.
And you're good to go. That's the way to be. I love it.
Okay.
Coach Wolf.
Okay.
See you Monday.
Talk
thanks
you
again.
Next. Good. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Take
Bye
care.
Now.
There he is. It's Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie. Charlie McBride with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff from him on Spielman and on Iowa. And I love the thought on, you know, how do you look at an 8-man or a 6-man guy? They're really good. There's some guys that just dominate. Seth Malcolm's one of those that makes a ton of big plays, and how do you jump to the next level? And that's right there. That's awesome
yeah,
from
Charlie,
Coach.
Charlie was on fire today.
He was just like, you know what? It's our job to teach him, and that's pretty good. We'll talk with Seth Malcolm next, as we had a chance to sit down with the newest member of Nebraska's 2021 class, commit number 9. The inside backer from Iowa is coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk to Nebraska's newest commit, Seth Malcolm, out of Tabor, Iowa, Fremont Mills. Seth, thanks for a few minutes. How's your day?
No problem. Not too bad.
Well, you know what? Nebraska fans excited to get another linebacker in the fold. Tell us a little bit about your recruiting process and, you know, how Nebraska really ended up sticking out for you to make your decision.
It started after my sophomore year. My first offer was from Iowa State, and then my second was Nebraska. And Nebraska just kept in constant, contact with me. So it was obvious throughout then that they were my number one. And then recently, Nebraska and K-State were my top two. So I went to go visit them this week and then ultimately decide who I would be committing to.
It's been a bit funky, to say the least, I'm sure, for you in the recruiting process just because of the pandemic that's out there when it comes to the recruiting restrictions that are in place right now. So you guys decided to take trips on last week. Kind of lay out, you and the family, what you did and how that kind of came about.
Just kind of talked to the coaches, asked for, the best restaurants we could go to and different things to look around in Manhattan and Lincoln. So obviously we couldn't talk to the coaches or see the coaches, but they could help me out and have the best time that I could possibly have with what is going on.
So let's hear about the Seth Malcolm trip itinerary. What all did you do in Lincoln?
First we went out to eat, and then my brother came and visited my parents and I. He wanted to kind of walk around the stadium with us, and then we just kind of drove around Lincoln and visited some other stuff around campus.
Good time, apparently.
Yes, for sure.
Seth Malcolm's with us, linebacker commit for Nebraska for 2021. When it comes to your recruiting process, how were you able to navigate through officials, unofficials, and you've been to Nebraska quite a few times ahead of making your decision, correct?
Yeah, I think I've been to Nebraska 5 times.
Okay. And with those trips, and, you know, who really made an impression on you during your recruiting process?
Coach Rudin, Coach Shenander. They really kept in contact with me about every day, every other day. They called or texted me just to see how I was going, how recruiting was going, if anything was new, how my family was doing. They called them. Just like that, just kind of really attracted me towards them.
What was their message to you about your fit within the defense?
What was that?
I said, what was their message to you about your fit in the defense?
Oh, they thought, they could really use me in their defensive scheme. They like how lengthy I am, my speed off the ball, physicality, just that sort of stuff. Check out to them.
When you talk about kind of the traits you have, what do you like most about playing linebacker and in football in general? It sounds like you kind of did it all for your team, your 8-man team.
Yeah, 8-man is definitely different than 11-man, so I'm super excited for the next step in the journey. But right now, I just do whatever I can for my team to help get some wins.
What do you think you do best at linebacker?
Everything. I've been really working on some footwork, some certain 11-man type of fronts, and just trying to get used to that aspect.
At what point in your high school career did it really click for you that you were able to play fast?
Probably my sophomore year. We went to state my freshman year, and then sophomore year we went back, but made a bigger impact in that team's wise.
You, just watching a little bit of your film, you do a nice job of kind of getting through the muck. You get downhill. You're also able to run guys down. And from an 8-man standpoint, that's not unfamiliar to Nebraska. Nebraska's taken 8-man and 6-man guys before. But from a jump from 8-man to the Big Ten, You sound really excited about it. And what are some things you're conscious of? What are the things you're working on to help up your game as you make that jump?
I'm really confident in what I can do, but obviously you can always get better. So, I work out of with a guy named Mike Schoolsby.
Okay,
he's really helped me perfect all my stuff. But obviously, working on 11 man stuff's a lot different than 8 man. So I have to go over the basics and what my job will be and certain formations and everything like that. So.
Seth Malcolm, a few more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Seth, what's an ideal weight that Nebraska wants you at? What are you open for? Because right now you're 6'3". What's your weight at?
I'm 205, 207, somewhere in there.
Okay, so has that been discussed, the frame and adding to your frame at all?
Yes, they want me around like 230.
Okay. 230, with Nebraska's nutrition set up, that shouldn't be a problem. Do you feel pretty comfortable making that gain eventually?
Yeah. Yep.
When it comes to your career, are you thinking about enrolling early, or are you kind of waiting and seeing?
I'm set up to graduate early. I don't know for sure yet if I will or won't.
Okay. So did you grow up a Nebraska fan at all?
Yes, my grandparents took me to games when I was little, and, you know, that kind of started the ball rolling.
All right, what games, any game you remember specifically?
No, not really. Just kind of throughout the years went to some games and stuff. In my house, we don't really have a favorite team. We just kind of watch everyone, but now it's definitely the Huskers.
How far away from Lincoln are you guys?
Not that far, about a little over an hour.
Okay. So, Seth, what kind of sticks out to you about the Nebraska program, where they're at right now, and specifically what excites you about this defense with Coach Chenander and Coach Rude?
I think I can really make an impact. Love the coaching staff, the fan base, and what they've been able to accomplish. Hoping to move that forward when I get there in my class.
So any talk of kind of moonlighting on offense, 12 yards a carry and 29 touchdowns last year?
Yeah. What was the question again?
any talk of moonlighting on offense? Say, look, I can run the football and I can score touchdowns too, coaches.
Some of that, but not primarily offense and stuff. They know I'm capable of doing that stuff, but on defense is where they really think they could use me.
What's the most interesting part about 8-man? Kind of set it up for me with, and I know there's 3 less players, obviously, but just from a scheme standpoint and the schematic side of things, and then your job right now with your high school, what are you asked to do, and how do you guys go about it? Give me a kind of a look-see with what you run defensively.
We run on defense, we run a 3 front, and then have 2 inside backers, 2 outside backers, and 1 safety, but then just try to keep me in the middle as much as we can and make plays.
Seth Malcolm's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Seth, anything stick out about the Zoom calls? That's the route recruiting had to take here this off season. And did you get a virtual tour at all? I know you did the physical tour when you drove down with your folks last week. But as far as Nebraska's presentation online, can you kind of explain that to us?
Yeah, I've already seen everything. So they showed me it was interesting to see everything again, but obviously I've already seen it, so it was just kind of, re-showing me everything. Got to talk, but on some Zoom calls, I got to talk with some coaches, and I told them that I was planning to commit. The way I committed is I went to my dad's fire station. He's a fireman in Omaha. So I went there and went with my mom, and we had a FaceTime call with Coach Chenander, Coach Rude, and Coach Frost. So
you did a from the firehouse, huh?
Yep, correct.
Did you did they sound the horn? Did you slide down the pole, or did you just gather in the kitchen area?
No, just kind of went in my dad's little office area.
That's pretty cool. What were their reactions?
They had a few kind choice words, but they gave a fist pump and, you know, were very excited for me.
That's pretty good. Seth Malcolm's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Seth, a pleasure to get to spend a few minutes with you. Best of luck in your career, and thanks for taking a few minutes with us today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Good to hear from Seth Malcolm, and eight-man guy that's making the jump to the Big Ten, Nebraska. In early on him, and that was a pretty good story about Malcolm and his family driving down on their own to walk around. They couldn't converse or come in contact with any coaches, just get advice on what to visit around Lincoln and go eat. So they did their own extensive tour of Lincoln yet again. Then they did Manhattan, Kansas, and there was the old Pepsi Challenge, and Lincoln won over Manhattan. Not shocking.
Did you see what Seth posted on his Twitter whenever he committed? He's a picture of him with all his family members out in front of what I assume is their house, and they're all decked out in their Husker gear. And then along with that, there's a picture of him at a Husker game as a kid with his grandpa.
Yep. I asked him, you know, hey, what do you remember going to see Nebraska with his grandpa? Nothing really stuck out. He just ended up going. But yeah, doing the old announcement from the firehouse was cool, because dad's just said, you know, a firefighter in Omaha. Reminder about drunk driving: one out of three fatal crashes involves an impaired driver. Driving drunk, buzzed, or high, never acceptable, and law enforcement officers are working around the clock to stop it with sobriety checkpoints and saturation patrols. As a driver, make that correct choice of a non-alcoholic drink or have a pre-selected designated driver. Be smart. Start the conversation. Who's driving home? Brought to you by the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. We'll get into the latest on Major League Baseball. More thoughts from you if you want to chime in. 466-3776. Open phones till 6 on the departure of J.D. Spielman. How are you taking it as a Nebraska fan? And plenty of feedback on social media. Some are good riddance, some are oh no, and some are somewhere in the middle, because you're losing a pretty vital part. More on the Iowa upheaval with their strength coach and Coach Ferentz's son, also a part of this. We'll talk about that on the way.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More on Iowa football and the fallout with Coach Doyle. And you have Brian Ferentz. He's the offensive coordinator, former offensive line coach, and he is the son to Kirk Ferentz. And Ferentz's dad acknowledged there's been some complaints about his son, but there was an instance here that Doyle made a comment about sending a player back to the ghetto. That was Deontay Morrow. And Doyle told me to go back to the streets, and he said, I'm not from the streets, said Brandon Simon. You have former running back Akram Wadley. Remember him? That dude was great. Said he walked off the practice field while wearing a Nike face mask to keep warm. A coach asked if I was on my way to rob a liquor store or a bank. That, per Wadley's mother, told Hawkeye Nation that it was Coach Brian Ferentz, and that she brought it to Kirk Ferentz's attention at the time. Kirk addressed reporters on a Zoom call yesterday afternoon, saying that he was very, very sorry for any hardships that any of the players have endured. If they didn't feel safe to speak freely, which clearly they did not, that's certainly something he feels regretful about. So what happens? And if you do something to Doyle, do you have to do something to Ferentz? Brian Ferentz. Mm-hmm. And listen, dude, if you want to take a straw poll of like the most unpopular guy in the Big Ten, it's probably Brian Ferentz. from other coaches and players. And the first problem you have is there's some question. And I'll say this. Iowa's offense has been really pretty good, okay? And he's been the offensive coordinator. And their offensive line's been pretty decent. That's a big part of what he does. So I'm not saying that he doesn't have some skill. How does he get it out of his kids? Then you got to be kind of gruff and rough and tumble anyway to be on the lines of scrimmage, right? Like Coach McBride said, I yelled at everybody. and maybe you're a yeller. And you got to be intense on the lines of scrimmage for sure. But there's this, I guess, aura around Brian Ferentz that, look, bro, you wouldn't be hired anywhere. And you wouldn't have the job you have if Daddy wasn't the head coach. There's some feeling out there by assistant coaches that, all right, it's not that he's not terrible, but everyone else has had to earn it versus kind of getting the old family discount.
And what I've noticed is that Chris Doyle, people
don't like the guy. But
Chris Doyle has been placed on paid administrative leave, and I think as of last check, Brian Ferentz still has not.
Well, right. If you're gonna send Doyle, who's been with you for 21 years, you better step up and put your kid on administrative leave too. If he said that,
if they're both a part of this investigation, part of what they're
there's Twitter talk by former Iowa players that, look, the Iowa culture is not going to change until Doyle and Brian Ferentz are gone. They're two of the parts of the problem. Now, does Kirk step up and suspend his own kid? Or does he absolutely put the hatchet down on Doyle? And can you move forward with both of them? Does Kirk, is his job in jeopardy if he doesn't make a move on his son?
Well, I mean, just right now, it sounds like a cultural issue within the Iowa football program. It sounds like Kirk Ferentz has been a part of it. There was the one player, I can't remember his name, who said that Kirk Ferentz threatened suspension, right?
Because he spoke up. Again, it's very New England Patriot Bill Belichick-esque.
Did you see the message the Iowa football players, a lot of them, put out today? It wasn't specifically about what's going on. It's just a general movement or a general message about the movement saying if you're not with us on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're not with us off the field,
the fans.
Don't be with us on the field.
Yeah, towards the fans. Dude, and Derek Peterson had a really awesome write-up. We're going to talk to Dr. Petey tomorrow. But he caught up with Tony Butler. He's transferred from Nebraska, but you know, Tony touches on his experience and just what it's like to be a player. And do you cheer for us and care for us when we're off the field as humans, not just as dudes that are supposed to get you 9 to 10 wins a season? Thank you for coming. We're not just a commodity for you. We're people, actually. And I think that's lost on some of us that are older versus some of the guys, the players' age and your age, Elijah. I mean, you guys are pretty in touch with caring. I mean, I would say your age demo and your demographic, you guys care a lot about people. You're very compassionate, and that's noble. That's important. That's right on. That's what you need. But with Brian Ferentz, man, I mean, I could... He has shot his mouth off in the past, right, on a podcast, and there's lots of people that just kind of roll their eyes at the guy. I don't think he's awful at his job, but let's just say his last name helps with where he's at. And does that give him the ability to go rogue or feel like I'm above the law a little bit? And it's not just Iowa either. I mean, you've got Dabo Sweeney on video today, 15 minutes, about the special teams coordinator who said the N-word. Didn't direct it at anybody, but repeated it as a teachable moment. That's his spin on it. Then you also have Utah. Morgan Scally is their assistant. And right now what's happened is you have George Floyd's murder. And you have all sorts of protests and now we get down to college football. We're addressing the problem of racism that started with George Floyd, and it's now down to just treatment, and are there racial undertones that have existed in college football? Yes is the answer. How bad has it gotten? And kids are able to speak out. But it seemed super archaic and almost caveman-esque for Iowa to have the Twitter policy they've had. And Iowa doesn't jack around. Like, you commit to us and you're not taking any other visits. That's how it is. I kind of applaud that. You got to be a man of your word. But it's just a different day and age. And they're not real flexible. Ference has been more flexible on this, at least being able to have conversations with the media and talk. I don't think Coach Ference is in any trouble. There have been players on there that have backed their head coach more so than called him out. But I think he's got a real look at his own kid first before you potentially sacrifice the strength and conditioning coach. That won't fly. You can't either you do your internal investigation from an outside source, and there's findings on both, or you got to make a tough decision potentially. We'll wind down a Monday next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time. Good show today as we talked to J.D. Spielman, where he may end up and his legacy at Nebraska. Guy made a lot of plays. He's not irreplaceable. Although Nebraska's in position with more options at wide receiver, does he play football again? Does he transfer somewhere? Does a waiver get done for him by the NCAA to be eligible? We'll talk with Mitch Sherman tomorrow and Derek Peterson tomorrow. YouTube Tuesday, we'll throw back and talk about the Nebraska-Ohio State comeback win in 2011.
Ooh.
Spencer Long.
I was actually at that game.
You and me both.
Yeah, I was. I'd taken my uncle. It was his first ever Husker game, and we're sitting there in the cold and the rain in the first half, and the Huskers are down.
Did you leave?
He was ready to go, and I kept him there. I was probably fifth grade then.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not leaving this game.
Good work.
And yeah, we stayed, and Huskers got the win. That's one of my most
memorable. Way to play the child endangerment card. Abandoning a fifth grader.
Well, that was probably my most memorable Husker game. That's
it was incredible.
There. What a game.
So Spencer Long going to be with us, part of the offensive line in 2011, all-conference performer, and he's a member of the Buffalo Bills now in the league. So we'll talk with Spencer. Good stuff from Charlie McBride today. You want to catch the podcast, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Also the on-demand section, ESPNLincoln.com. Really enjoyed our chat with Seth Malcolm, newest commit for Nebraska football. Greg Smith, always awesome, took care of it on some recruiting and the J.D. Spielman news today. So there we have it. We spent a lot of time on, you know, what Iowa is facing and dealing with. You had Ole Miss and South Florida coaches and players take part in a walk today. So it is, it's up for the Iowa administration here in a independent review to see what happens there. And you're going to have more and more players come out and accuse people of racial undertones or bias or insensitivity. And it's just something you don't say to a dude if you're the coach's kid or anybody. You're going to go rob a bank or a liquor store with that ski mask. What an a-hole thing to say. But it's the coach's kid, so maybe he felt like he could say whatever. Maybe that's his personality. I'm not defending it at all. But it's just difficult to, deal with this if you're Iowa. You have a bunch of voices that seem to feel and have been silenced for how many years? Yeah, you've won games. Yeah, you've gone to the league. they've gotten you better and developed you. But what was the work environment like? You were going to every day. And it's not all sunshine and roses and lollipops either. It's football. It's tough. It's mean. It's physical. You got to get pushed and challenged. But did you make up with the coach? Or do you know he really actually cared or had your back? That seems in question right there. There's a lot of taking my experience with me, and it's not super fond. And that it's like that for a lot of kids at a lot of schools. So we'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks to Elijah Herbal. Thanks to Charlie McBride, Seth Malcolm, Greg Smith, Chris Schmidt. And back at you tomorrow. Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good Monday.